Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to the Tone and Sculpt podcast. It's your girl, Chrissy Chella, and I am absolutely thrilled to be introducing today's guest. She is a mental health and body positivity advocate. As well as that, she is an amazing, beautiful model. But better yet, she has a master's in child psychology. I am so honored and excited to introduce Jada Cesar. So, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. How's it going, Chrissy?
I'm okay. I'm not going to lie. I'm actually so excited to have you on this podcast.
Oh, I'm excited to be here.
So, I reached out to Jada and via DM, I slid in there.
It works.
And I was like, hi, hello, you know, I love everything that you do and everything that you represent. You just make every single woman feel like it's okay to be who they are. And that is exactly what I love. And that's exactly what I want to share with my community and share on this podcast. So you do you want to tell people a little bit of what you do and what you represent? And then we'll go from there.
Sure. So I have been a self-advocate, self-love advocate and mental health advocate for the last, I'd say, 8 years. But predominantly people know me as a plus size model. My career kind of started when I was creating content for Instagram about 8 years ago whilst I was finishing up my master's in child psychology and was working with a lot of young people that had eating disorders and body dysmorphia, and I couldn't understand, and I wanted to get to the bottom of where that stemmed from. And people have loads of different reasons why they feel insecure, but self-esteem played a big part in that, and the way that we are represented or lack of representation in the media was one of the key reasons. When you don't see yourself represented in these big spaces, you almost feel like you're not worthy, or you should adjust and change who you are to fit what these idolized versions of beauty are. And I come from a family where the first thing that happens when you come to our house is like, we feed you. We're like, what do you want to eat? Great conversations happen around food. So I had a brilliant relationship with that and my body. My dad would constantly encourage me to do sports and be in spaces that made me confident and spaces that weren't about my aesthetic. So I think I kind of grew up with a good sense of knowing who I was. And I wanted to channel that in some way, particularly with the young girls I was with every day. And so the content I was creating just basically spoke about that, like being unapologetically you, know that you're enough, know that you don't have to change or adapt or adjust, like you are perfect the way you are. And also putting myself in front of the camera, which I wasn't a model, I was studying, I was a student, I was trying to make ends meet, working like three different jobs. And
I can relate to that heavily.
Like
what you're saying, and this is so funny because me and Jada, this is our first time meeting. So everything she's telling me, I'm literally absorbing it all in because I'm like, this is my story. This is exactly how I felt. Like working to make ends meet, but still pursuing the passion that you have. So that's just incredible. And then what happened after that? Carry on, sorry.
And then, yeah, I guess, you know, I posted some pictures and they were different back then. There was not really, a mate of mine was a photographer. So I was like, can you take pretty pictures of me? And he was like, okay, fine, let's do it. And I would like go through, I never read magazines. My mum wasn't ever into fashion and the media. We never had the news on. So I was kind of a little bit out of that bubble. So I didn't really know what I was doing, but I started to mood board pictures. I would tear images out of Vogue and be like, look, why can't somebody that looks like me do something like her? And we can just throw it online and see what happens. And 8 years ago, the only kind of curvy women that I saw were 4 plus size models in America, in New York. And it was really, really niche and completely a rarity. Like now everyone's like super body positive. You can find every shaped woman online if you want to. But back then it was really new. I didn't ever see anyone that looked like me. And so my images went viral. And I was asked to be the face of the first ever plus size show during London Fashion Week.
Wow.
And off the back of that, I was approached by a modeling agency and signed to them. And then went on to work as a model for the last 7 years. But parallel to that, I continuously created content that sort of channeled my, I guess my message that was bigger than just about
the
being body confident. Yeah, it's about, because it's hard to say, like, just love yourself. Like,
yeah, 100%. So you hear that all the time, but what does that actually mean? Because it's like, you're constantly telling people, especially viewers, because you have a sense of responsibility with, no matter if you have 100 followers to 100,000 to a million, you have a sense of responsibility. So you throw, I feel like the words love yourself are thrown around very easily nowadays. But what's the meaning behind that?
Exactly.
Because like you've just told us, you were signed to a modeling agency. So were they telling you to love yourself at that point? Because modeling agencies have this concept of you looking a certain way. So did that make you feel pressured to then shift and want to become like the niche type of model? Or stay true to yourself and stay true to the way you looked and never change that for any modeling agency or any job that came about?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there definitely were times, especially when I was living in New York, where you're a model, so you can pay your rent off the back of being booked on a job, which means you're prettier than everyone else that went there. But it took me probably about a year to get over the fact that if I tried to meet everyone's idea of what beautiful was for every brand, am I beautiful for Topshop the way I'm beautiful for, I don't know, like a more of a an All Saints or Adidas? Like, they're different. They want different types of girls. They want different types of looks.
And if, do you think that's okay? Or do you think that needs to change?
I mean, I think, you know, if a brand wants somebody that's a little bit more bohemian because that's what the style of their clothing is, get it.
Sure.
But I think as a model, what can be destructive is if you constantly, or anybody, if you constantly try to be the average and dilute who you are in order to meet everybody else's expectations and want love from everybody. Not, you're not going to be everybody's cup of tea. And the point is, you don't even want to be.
100%. Yeah, I agree with you. And it's funny because it's like, even with fitness, and because my Instagram is very, it's 100% fitness, really. It was incredibly, it was a big pressure for me to not always have a six pack. Or to not always be at a ridiculously low body fat percentage, because, well, if your body fat percentage is a little bit higher, then are you classified as a fitness Instagrammer? So that, you know, that pressure was incredibly intense at the beginning. And then I realized, just like you, I'm not going to be everybody's cup of tea. And it's like, the minute I realized that, I became so much more content and happier. And I used to go to the gym for a very long time to look a certain way to please other people, and I used to hate training. I used to absolutely hate it because I was like, I don't want to fucking do that. I don't want to do that. Why am I doing that? Why am I killing myself doing so much cardio to be this, you know? It's just unrealistic.
Yeah.
It's unsustainable. So the minute I stopped doing that, I was like, okay, I'm so much happier. I'm going to the gym and I'm trying new things and doing new things and I'm lifting more and I feel stronger. And I'm doing this for me. I'm not doing this because society tells me otherwise.
Yeah.
And, you know, social media can be such an incredibly toxic place.
Yeah.
And what I did not long ago is I unfollowed everyone that made me unhappy.
Yeah.
And it was the best thing I ever did. People are going to go check now. She's still following me.
Yeah, but it's not personal. This is what I say.
It's not personal.
Like, Instagram is set up it's an aspirational tool. Mm. And when we realize how Instagram works and how we can use it to our advantage, it's so liberating. Like, put those profiles on mute if you don't want to unfollow them and offend anyone. But it shouldn't be offensive. It's not personal. Mm. The content you create is there, and the reason it gets love and likes and is a part of the like top recycled algorithm and content is because people desire to be that or take a piece of that in some way. That's why people's lives that look like richer than yours, they look better than you, or they're put together in a way that you want to be, that's what gets all the hits, right?
And like, isn't knowing it sad, that
you know what it is and it isn't, like, when you understand that that's what that tool is for, you can use it to inspire you. It can inspire you to decorate your house in a way that you like. You can use it to your advantage, but I think we've become so immersed in it, we use it for the wrong reasons. We use it as like to measure up our lives a lot of the time, of this is what she or he does, so I should also be like this. And actually, that's not realistic. And that's not using it to your advantage. That's not using social media cleverly. Be inspired. Don't let it be a detriment to you. But I think I always say, sage your iPhone. Completely unfollow people that aren't serving you in that sense. And like, you know, Twitter is used to be like an echo chamber of conversation. Know what that's for, so that you can get immersed in certain topics that you want to learn and understand a little bit more about. So it's understanding what social media, like, we've been given this equipment. We've been given this technology. We've been given these platforms, and they haven't given us a handbook of how to navigate it. So we have to do the work to protect ourselves and the things that we put in our space, I think.
There's something that I wanted to read out to you.
Oh, tell me.
It was something you said. You're like, shit, what did I say?
Oh God, how far back in Twitter did you scroll?
Oh God, no, not Twitter. And you said something that it was phrased so nicely, and I just kept thinking about it over and over again. You put, there is no pressure on how I look because I have my life together in other ways. My mental health feels good. My mind feels calm. And I don't feel anxious, and that translates into the way I carry myself.
Yeah.
And that to me shouts confidence. Do you know what I mean? That to me, it's like, it's so true. And do you know what? I remember not long ago, I had a shoot and I didn't feel comfortable with what I was wearing, and I didn't really feel comfortable in the way I was looking because I was a little bit bloated. How stupid of me. Like, bloating is normal. You get bloated when you're on your period. You get bloated when you've had a bit of spicy kebab or whatever you've had, you know? So I felt a bit bloated, and the way I was carrying myself was, I was all like shrugged and I didn't feel good, and I didn't want to be there, and I wasn't confident and comfortable in my own skin. And it's so true. You walked in here today and I had this rush of confidence because it's the way you carry yourself. It's the way you smile. It's the way you are. It's not about the way you look.
No.
You know what I mean? No. For all I know, you could be wearing like the cheapest dress I've ever seen in my life, but you could make that into like a fucking Gucci £2,000 dress.
And likewise, you could be wearing Gucci and feel so crap.
Exactly. And this is what I've always been telling people, that it does not matter where you are, it does not matter what you look, it matters how you feel. It matters how you're carrying yourself, because you could make the world of difference in your life the minute you start carrying yourself with the utmost confidence, with the utmost respect. And the minute you have respect for yourself, no other company can shit on you. No other person can mess you around.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you've shown. I mean, you stood up in the women's health platform with nothing but your underwear on, and you were like, this is me, take me as I come, take me as I am. And when I saw that, I was like, I couldn't. I feel comfortable in a selfie, but I just couldn't stand on stage like that.
Oh, you could.
Well,
you could.
Maybe I
think you know what? Everyone could. We all have capability of doing it. Whoever told us we can't?
Yeah.
Whoever told us we shouldn't? And more so, what I say is, we need to be kinder to ourselves. Once we start being kinder and talking to ourselves as if we would talk to a child, that's when the respect really transpires. Because you've got to have your own back more than anyone else does. You've got to look after yourself better, kinder, nicer, like more selfishly than anyone else. You can't rely on other people to treat you the way that you want to be treated if you don't tell them how.
100%. And do you feel like because you've started doing that, or whenever you started doing that, it's reflected in your work, in how maybe your manager treats you or agencies treat you or companies that you work for treat you? Has that, is it changed?
I feel like I've always been confident because I've always focused on things outside of my body and my appearance. So I was never ever defined by just that growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Becoming a model, it kind of flipped everything on its head because then my appearance became my sole purpose.
Mm.
But alongside that, I always made sure I did the self-work and I took people and my followers on that journey with me of like, I don't understand, maybe I'm anxious right now, but I've gone to yoga and actually I'm not a yogi, but I figured it out and it works for me and maybe it will work for you. Or I'm not a runner, but fitness shouldn't look like one type of body type because it's not. So let's run a marathon and try and get to the end. And maybe hopefully you'll be inspired to get running too for the right reasons, for your mind, for your mental sanity, for feeling centered and calm, not for to be a runner. I don't want to look like Mo Farah. I never will.
Yeah, exactly. No,
and I don't want to run at the same time as Mo Farah. I just want to get to the end, maybe get a nice blingy medal.
Yeah.
I don't care about a time. Like it's, and I always say, and like I had this conversation with my little niece who's 16 the other day. I said to her, she was like, oh, I really want to get into like blogging and be an Instagrammer and you get all this free stuff and it's really fun.
And here I'm like, we go.
And I was like, okay, tell me why. Tell me why. Really why? Because the free stuff, like, is that really why? Is that gonna set your heart on fire? Is that your biggest life purpose?
Mm.
Getting free stuff that you don't necessarily even want or need.
No. You don't need that stuff.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
It's like when you go and you buy something in a shop, I do this all the time. I buy on impulse. I'm like, oh, I like that. I never wear it. And then I'm like, wait, I just wasted money on something I don't need on impulse just to fulfill a little void that I had at that specific point.
Yeah.
And it's so funny you say that because it's like even Jack, who's my fiance, because we work together, I spend a lot of time on my phone and so does he. And when we was out in LA, I was doing a shoot. What we did is we took 2 hours, just 2 hours, just to ourselves, put our phones away, locked them away, literally in the car. What's it called? The glove compartment.
Yeah.
Locked it away and we went for a walk. Mm, we got ice cream, nice. We went for a walk. And those are moments I'm going to remember.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to remember us, you know, just buying an expensive bag or, you know, things like that. Although those
things
are nice.
And posting it on Instagram for other people.
Yeah.
Like, that, you know why? You know why those moments are underrated and they're not spoken about? It's because people can't monetize them.
Mm.
We can't monetize a moment of you just going for a stroll. Because how do I profit off that? How does a beauty brand make you feel like you need to go for a stroll?
Yeah.
How does it do it without, you know, or it could be a fitness brand, but if you go for that stroll in that peaceful little moment, you have to look a certain way and you have to be wearing the right trainers and you have to be a certain body fat percentage.
Yeah.
those moments, like just laughing with your child, just being there at her school or his school play. Like, the reason why those moments, like I said, are underrated is because they can't be monetized.
Oh, God. Do you know what? Sometimes I always look back and I think, damn, life was a little bit more simpler when I was a waitress and I was making like £20 tips, and that £20 tip would serve me a nice Nando's on the weekend, you know, like
cheeky Nando's,
you know, extra spicy.
Oh, I love
it,
that.
You know, it's just moments like that. It's like that was a little bit, life was more simpler.
You know what? I think you've always got to question what you're chasing. Mm. What are you chasing after? Because you're either running from something, whether it's you're running from shame, you're running from insecurity, you're running from a toxic relationship, you're running from yourself, or you're chasing something like this ideal, like this flashy car or this whatever it is. And it's like, question what your motives are. That's my biggest thing. And that's when I'm like, does it fit with me? Am I doing this for the right reasons? Because if it's for a reason of like, I don't like this version of myself and that's why I need to lose 10 pounds or whatever, then I'm like, whoa, I need to reassess what's going on. What outside of me has told me that right now I'm not okay?
Have you been pressurized to feel that way sometimes when it comes to like a brand or anything, where it's like, oh, if maybe I lost a little bit more weight or did this differently, would they want me more? Or do you sometimes feel like that?
Potentially. I mean, there's always times where you feel like, especially in the modelling world, that you should shift and maybe you get more work, especially if you're not working and you've got to pay rent. Yeah. But that's why I constantly had my own thing going on social media and constantly would create the kind of things I wanted to see, because, I feel like these brands, although they are super powerful and they are the gatekeepers, it's up to us to redefine what we want to see, because it's not, we can't trust necessarily the brands.
No, I agree. And it's just like when I done my promo video for Tone and Sculpt, we're releasing like a new phase, all the women are actual clients. So they come different heights, different shapes, different backgrounds. Was it more challenging having real people that don't necessarily do that as a 9-to-5 job? It wasn't challenging, it was enjoyable. Like, it's not a challenge if you enjoy something. Do you know what I'm trying to say? It was like rewarding,
and you're representing the mass. You're not putting a girl out there that is like 1% of the population. You're creating content for,
and it's real nothing
women.
Wrong with looking that 1%.
It's not, if that's your norm, if that's your norm, right? But I think there's one thing having representation, I mean having diversity, but there's another thing having representation. So a girl, a plus size model, could be used in a campaign, but that should be the norm.
That's what I think. I think I'm so happy you said that, because it's like, why, it shouldn't be a shock. Do you know what I mean? Like, if there's a billboard of a plus size model doing a lingerie campaign, why is that a shock?
Yeah, absolutely.
It just should just be the norm to me. Like, what the hell, why is it, oh my god, it shouldn't be an oh my god moment. It should be like, oh, that's a nice bit of underwear.
And we all come in every shape, and all of us, you know, all of us women, we all have cellulite, and we all, you know, my best friend has a baby and the baby has cellulite.
It's little baby rolls.
It's the cutest little thing, and like, it's not something to be ashamed of. We are, like, the fact that we are on this planet, that, you know, our mum and dads met at this, like, the ovary and the sperm came together that particular time, in that moment, it's gone through so much, and you were created so special.
Unique.
Like, your eyes, the way that your cheekbones, everything that's formed, your cellulite, that bump on your hip, that dimple on your nose, like, whatever it is, that is so specific to you. You are one in, I think it's 7 billion in this planet.
Yeah.
And the chances of you being created are that times, like, God knows how much. Like, you are so special. And you can't forget that, and you can't take it for granted. Like, the fact that you're here today is remarkable. And why are we getting caught up on a bloody, like, because my bum's too big, or my and these trends, that the pendulum will constantly sway from being heroin chic to now being hourglass Kim Kardashian figure. And what are we doing? Chasing beauty our entire lives.
Yeah.
When you're so special,
draining.
Right now.
It's draining.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be chasing the way you necessarily look. You should be chasing the way you feel. And even with clients of mine, they, the scales have gone up. So how do you feel? Tell me how you feel. Do you feel stronger?
I don't have scales in my house.
No, 100%. I hate them. I think they're...
They're not a true representation of
they're not
your weight. And
how do you feel when you work out? You feel strong, you feel empowered, you feel amazing. Even if you didn't want to work out, and when you finish a gym session or you go for a run or you do a yoga session, you feel good afterwards. You feel accomplished. Ask yourself how you feel. Ask yourself, you're feeling good, you feel more energized, have you had a good night's sleep? Those are things I want you to tell me. Don't tell me that scales have gone up. They don't know how much muscle you've built, how much fat you've lost. So I don't want to know the scales and what they say. I want to know how you feel. What's the next thing we're talking about? Do you know what I mean? There's one thing I've always been told by my dad, and this is something I'll always remember. He always asks me, what don't you want to be? He doesn't ask me, what is it you want to be? What is it you don't want to be? And you start thinking about things, right? And you start thinking, actually, I don't want to make women feel bad. Actually, I don't want to be a representative of, you know, just being materialistic. And you start to actually realize, right, then therefore, these are the things I do want to be. And you start getting answers of what you actually want to be. Because when you ask someone, what is it you want to be? You kind of get the same response. I want to be this when I grow up. I want to be this. I want to do this. All right, what is it you don't want
to
be?
Yeah, it's easier to identify that sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah. So I always ask people, what is it you don't want to be? So what is it you don't want to be, Jada? Or be viewed
as. That's a really interesting. I've never not been asked that question, actually. I guess I don't ever want to be one of these, a flash in the pan, and somebody that's ever compromised their integrity to meet the immediate norm. I don't ever want to be somebody that, compromises who they are.
It's a very difficult question.
It is.
It's a very difficult question because, like I said, everyone always gets asked, what is it you want to be? Or what is it you want to be visualized as? But the truth is, you got to always ask yourself, what is it you don't want to be in this world? You don't want to be cruel. You don't want to be mean. You don't want to be making women, other women feel insecure, uncomfortable. And then naturally, you will figure out what is it your purpose is in this life. And that is to make every single woman, regardless of where she is or what language she speaks, is one picture can make such a big difference in her life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah,
she doesn't need to be the same body shape, the same background, culture. She just needs to feel something. And that feeling is what's it's what matters.
And for yourself, like how you show up for you. Like, like you were saying, you know, words have power. So how are you, you know, talking to yourself? What's your self-talk? What do you say? Being mindful of that. Because those messages, you know, when you stand in front of the mirror, you're like, oh, I look crap today. Like, screw that.
Yeah.
Screw that. You wouldn't tell that to like a five-year-old, oh, you look crap today. Why are you going to tell that
to
yourself?
Oh my God, never. Yeah. That's a good point.
Look after yourself. Going back to our first, like we're doing a bit of a full circle here, but when people tell you just love yourself. You know what? That's hard. That's really bloody hard. And what made it easier for me was when I came to the conclusion that I am going to try and love myself, but more than anything, I'm going to stop bad-mouthing myself. And that in turn will lead to self-love, because you can't have that without having kindness, without being more self-aware. Self-love is a process. And the same way people often ask me, how are you so confident? And I'm like, confidence is a trick. Confidence isn't an end goal that all your life and all of your goals and dreams and aspirations will come true when you become self-confident. No, like these things can be achieved now, and confidence is something that is a constant work in progress.
And it is.
It's not an overnight fix. And I don't want to be, and I'm never going to be self-confident all the time. Like we're not. But what around us in our life is setting us up to be
better.
Better. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go through some rapid fire questions, and I just want quick
one sentence, maybe two, maybe three, it depends.
Oh God, don't get me started.
These are rapid fire questions that we asked you guys, and I'm going to read them out now and Jada will answer. Okay, so we have one here, social anxiety and the gym. How did you handle that?
Okay, I love this because when I step it, so the other day I went to this new gym, right? And I put on this like Lil Wayne tune, some old school Lil Wayne that made me feel so sexy. Yeah. And I just started running and I literally have not run for ages. So I looked like a complete amateur. I was probably running at like 1 mile an hour. I've tripped at some point.
So? And that's good.
But by the end of it, I was sweating and I just had this like proper heavy like hip hop track on repeat beating in my ear. And you know what? It's so funny. I felt the sexiest I've ever felt.
Wow.
And I didn't have any makeup on. I was a hot, sweaty mess. And it's just, I was in my zone. Mm. And when you're in your zone, however you may look, like I was a complete amateur, I noticed people were like, they weren't watching. Well, maybe it was in my mind. Everyone was watching like, who's this? I felt like I was in a movie.
Ooh,
I know.
Watching me.
Maybe they weren't. Maybe this was all in my mind. But I honestly felt that people were looking, not in a sense of like, oh my God, what's she doing? But like, oh wow, she's like doing her thing. And then they'd like carry on and get back to their thing.
Yeah.
And that for me is sexy, just like owning the space, not shrinking in it.
Yeah, mm. I love that. Owning the space, not shrinking in it. That's the first time I've heard it. And I love that, absolutely love that. Because as soon as you walked in, the confidence was unreal. But it was like, it was no way, there's a difference between arrogance and confidence. You just was a sexy confidence. I was like, oh, who that girl?
Hey, Chrissy.
Who that girly? Okay, I love this one. What we've been speaking about yet again, but just to kind of put everything in check, how to accept my own body shape and not compare to other people.
I think it's similar to what we were discussing previously. I think for me the best way to stop comparing myself to other people's bodies is when I stop thinking about my body and when I start focusing on things outside of my body. Mm. My pride is built on maybe how well I paint a picture and how proud I am of that picture. Mm. Or the netball team that I've just joined and the fact that we've just won or I've been able to do a new move. That is what makes you body confident.
Yeah, you're not so thinking how my arms look up in the air when I'm catching the ball. You're thinking I need to catch
and
that
you don't
ball.
Care if the boy doesn't call you back because you're like, bad boy. Like,
yeah,
I gotta go and smash another team. Like, yeah, that's body confidence.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It's just been such a eye-opener listening to you and listening, especially because of the industry that you are in that is revolved around image.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the modeling industry is. As brutal as that sounds, it is what it is. It's how you look.
Yeah.
And the fact that you haven't allowed society to put you in a box and told you this is the box you're going to be and take it or leave it, you've kind of been like, no, this is how I want to be. You can't put me in any box. This is how I look. This is how I am.
Yeah.
And it's served you incredibly well. You are such an inspiration to thousands of women, me being one of them. And, you know, I always look at your stuff and I show Jack all the time and I'm like, fuck, I wish I could go up with underwear like that. And he's like, you could. And I'm like, yeah, but
you could.
I'm not Jada.
Anyone could. Like you said at the very start of this, it's energy. It's what you, how you carry yourself. It's how you own that space.
Mm,
and you've got to believe it.
If you don't believe it, who will?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure that you are subscribed to this podcast. And why not give us a cheeky rating? Let me know what you thought. And be sure to be following Jada on all her socials because she is honestly such an inspiration. Thank you so much, Jada, for being here. Honestly, it's been amazing.
Thanks for
thank
having
you.
Me, Chrissy.
Oh, bye. Always. All right, guys. I love you always and forever. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that?
Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.